At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is Jordan Love, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to another episode of the epic, the maniacal Roster Watch podcast. Today, no Alex, just the trash man and myself, Cody Carpentier, here to bring you 8, maybe 9, maybe 7 players that are crushing training camp at the moment. These videos did well last year, and everybody wants to know who's doing well. And we've been digging in the mud to try to find out some of these names that, you know, haven't been talked about a lot, but when you really dig into what the beat reporters are saying, some of these guys are having really good camps, and they're not only going to make rosters, but they're going to have something to say about the target shares, the opportunity shares, and things of like. You can go get the updated offensive line rankings over at rosterwatch.com, as well as the ultimate draft cheat sheet up at rosterwatch.com right now, amongst other tools, many other tools. Get a pro or a premium membership today at rosterwatch.com. First and foremost, and as well, before we jump into it, I'll just say, remind you, this weekend will be the first episode, the first big fantasy draft show, all business edition, live on Saturday. We'll be live for 1 to 2, maybe 3 hours, starting on Saturday for a couple of hours. So jump on over to Roster Watch on X, on YouTube, and get locked in at rosterwatch.com. Trash Man, players crushing. How are you doing? Are you crushing?
Always. I stay crushing. I only drink Orange Crush.
Orange Crush, super underrated, as well as the purple. I don't think it's called Purple Crush, but the same branding, right? Purple and orange.
I don't know. I don't really drink Orange Crush. I don't really drink soda at all anymore. You know, I had to kick Mountain Dew when I was 13 because I was bouncing off the walls.
Well, that's why I thought maybe you had some Red 40 yesterday, or you maybe had a can of Mountain Dew yesterday.
No, I just get perturbed by bad takes. It's my Achilles heel.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm not going to stop you from that. All right, let's talk about some players crushing. Who's your first one?
I mean, it's got to be Trevaion Henderson. You know, with what he's doing in New England, first preseason NFL touch. Returns to the house, 100 yards. Josh McDaniels said he's the fastest running back he's ever coached. I mean,
interesting.
That's saying something. And he's just, you know, he's been an asset out of the backfield. He's been an asset in the backfield. You're really seeing this kid. There's nothing that this kid can't do, and he is really fast, and he is on an offense that is kind of bereft of major talent, other than Stephon Diggs, who, you know, who's getting a little long on the tooth. I mean, this is a team with a young quarterback who needs a safety valve, and Trevaion Henderson, you know, fits the bill perfectly. I think this is going to be a breakout year. I think he's got potential offensive rookie of the year laurels coming up. You really can't say it enough about what Henderson has done so far in training camp. And, you know, this is just it's a New England offense team with room to grow. It's a perfect landing spot for him, it seems. I could go on and on, but Henderson, get him where you can.
The first name I thought of when you said that about Josh McDaniels' comment, because I think the best running back he ever coached was probably Noshon out of college, I should say. Maybe not overall, but out of college. Noshon ran a 4.62. I guess I didn't remember he was that slow, but obviously Travion's a bit faster than that. Trashman, when you're looking at running backs right now, you know, we're building the ultimate draft cheat sheet. PPR, I think he's going to be a little bit more of a steeper spend right now. His ADP is right at 55. That is Travion Henderson. In half, though, his ADP is 56. So it's literally right in the same spot. When you're drafting, I mean, 56 is putting us right in the middle of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth round. RJ Harvey's right ahead of him. He's going about RJ Harvey's turning into a late fourth round pick right now. You get RJ Harvey, Travion Henderson, DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, James Conner. Is this a situation like, I know a couple of those names I mentioned, Montgomery, Conner, even Hubbard to a certain extent. Those are aging backs. Is this kind of a thing where you think the dynamism might be able to enough to take Travion, you know, not only create value because there's value there, but boost him up into being a potential Jahmyr Gibbs type situation?
I mean, absolutely. I think we're lauding Henderson more than we were Gibbs when he was coming into his rookie season. I think if it's a zero, I mean, if you're going zero RB, he could be the perfect first running back pick to take just, you know, for some major upside there. And if you've already got a stacked receiving core, you know, it's potential dynamite. And I just get, you know, you in fantasy can hurt. In fact, it hurts most of the time. So you want to get some players who you love to see on the field, who are dynamic, who can make big plays, big splash plays, and that you get excited about. And Henderson is one of those guys. So, yeah, definitely.
We'll see if that ADP climbs up over the next couple of weeks. Omarion Hamptons has boosted up to 38 already, so he's about 18 spots ahead of Henderson amongst rookies. My number one is going to be Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's had a great camp, and it can be looked at in two views. One, he hasn't been hurt. He's been on the field. He's been healthy. He's been playing football. And the big conversation around San Francisco has been, you know, what's Juwan Jennings' availability? What's Ricky Pearsall's availability? What's Brandon Ayuk's availability? Nobody's talking about George Kittle. He's healthy on the field. Isaac Garendo's banged up. Jordan James is banged up. Well, who's healthy? The one guy that's always usually hurt, and that's Christian McCaffrey. They just brought in Jeff Wilson to be behind him as well. McCaffrey right now's ADP is right around 7 and 8. Running back 5 off the board behind Derrick Henry, right ahead of Ashton Jeanty. This last weekend was the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton. That's when a lot of the bigger heads in the industry come together. I guess you'd say bigger heads, but it's more of the bigger of the, you know, ex-mainstream, not the ESPNs and NFL networks of the world generally. But the bigger heads are drafting in these Kings Classic drafts. And I heard and I saw a couple of drafts complete with McCaffrey going off the board as the overall player number 4. And I want to get your thoughts on that, Trashman, because to me, it's like we've been doing these cheat sheet sims, and it's a lot of Jamar Chase, Bijan, Gibbs, Barkley, Jefferson, Lamb. Like, that's generally your top 6. And the idea that you would potentially take McCaffrey ahead of any of those guys, you think that's a little overreaching? Like, is that a value? Like, to me, I think that's a little hot at 4. Given you have the youthfulness and all those other guys I named outside of Saquon, but man, I think I like McCaffrey right now at, you know, the 8, 9, 10 area, which I think you would remember a couple of months ago. I said, man, I'd rather have him at the 2, 3 turn. Obviously we're not going to get that.
I mean, to me, the only way I'm really taking McCaffrey is if I can get him at the turn, because then I can get another good player right after him.
Yeah.
The thing is Christian McCaffrey has always been a great player. That's never been a question, you know? The question now, every season, is going to be, will he finish the season? Or how many games are you going to get out of him?
Yeah.
So for me, that kind of liability, I don't want to take that on. I don't want to take that on when there are other players who I think can produce, you know, around probably what he can accomplish at this point in his career. And they're going to actually play a full complement of games, or at least close to it this season. It's just not a risk that I'm really willing to take unless I can get value on him. And you're probably not. And from what you're telling me, you're not going to be able to get value on him. So I'm probably not getting McCaffrey in many leagues.
I think that's a fair assessment. Who's your next guy?
For me, it's George Pickens. You know, the Cowboys had to throw a Cowboy.
I knew that was coming.
Well, and George Pickens, he's the number one receiver on any other team. Well, I mean, on almost any other team, on his old team, who's the number one receiver. You put him on Dallas where he's the number one outside receiver. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is there, but, you know, we know the position, the role that he plays. And there's still room for a player like Pickens to dominate on the outside, especially when you have defenses paying attention to CeeDee Lamb like they will be. I mean, George Pickens is going to have free reign on the outside there in Dallas, and Dak is going to throw him the ball. As far as tight ends go, as far as other targets go, there isn't really competition for number two there that I can see. So George Pickens, we could see. I mean, to me, it's T. Higgins 2.0 for George Pickens. And if you can get that kind of value for Pickens where he can perform at wide receiver one level on most weeks, you know, or wide receiver two with upside, I gladly take the hit for Pickens. And he's already shown to have a rapport with Dak Prescott. He's already shown that Dak Prescott trusts him in that offense. And he, you know, did you see the highlight reel catch he had against De'Ron Bland? I mean, come on. This guy can't be covered. I mean, if he hadn't been like injured coming into his rookie season, we'd already be touting him as one of the best receivers in the league. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to show it in Dallas in the best offense he's had the opportunity to play with in the NFL in his short career.
All right, give me a buy or sell or whatever, however you want to phrase this, but I want to go rapid fire just a couple of different receivers versus Pickens in his area. Pickens or Jameson Williams?
Pickens.
Pickens or Zay Flowers?
Well, there's a caveat there. Jameson Williams is on another offense. There'd be a better argument for Jameson Williams because I love Jameson Williams.
Yep.
But yeah, as things stand right now, Pickens.
Pickens or Zay Flowers?
Pickens.
Pickens or Xavier Worthy?
Pickens.
Pickens or Devonta Smith?
Okay, and now there's a real conversation there. There's a real argument there. But that's close. Those are neck and neck for me. It might just depend on the draft, you know, and how I'm feeling at the time. But that's a coin flip between those two for me.
All right, last one, Rashee Rice or George Pickens. Rashee Rice.
He's going to miss four games?
In the last couple of hours, they said that his injunction maybe was moved to September 30th. So he gets the first four games at minimum. And then the suspension could come in the middle of the season.
Nah, give me Pickens. Give me the sure thing.
All right. Well, there you have it. George Pickens is currently going off the board at 67 overall. All of those guys fulfill picks 64 to 50. So we're getting a little bit of value on George Pickens, which I think you've seen in the Ultimate Draft cheat sheet. If you are using it from rosterwatch.com, you should go check it out right now. The QR code's right there on the bottom of the screen.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The fourth player, my second player, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. with the Washington Commanders.
I thought you might.
You thought I might, and it's the guy that, you know, we've been talking about for a hot minute because of the NFL draft this year, and I'm going to go with our guy Bill, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Interesting reports have come out the last couple of days. Jacory Kroski-Merritt had a great camp. Some in the Washington circles have called him the player of the camp to this point. And as of today, there was a report coming from Ben Standig on his podcast this morning, who reports on the Commanders, saying that there's potential, and he's like, I'm not getting this from anybody, but this is my thoughts coming out of camp, is that there's potential that you could see Brian Robinson not be on this roster in week one because of how good Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt's playing, coupled with, he also mentioned, which was odd enough to me, that Austin Eckler, he thought, was the best running back on the team, but obviously you can't give him that big of a workload because he can't stay healthy. The thought process would be that potentially Eckler, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, Jeremy McNichols would be kind of your main three guys. And another comment he made was, how can you have Brian Robinson on the team at the same time as Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt? Because you can't keep – how can you have Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt on the team and not have him on the field, was the thought. And I just want to say that, you know, we go back to the Shrine Bowl up in North Texas. I went this year, and Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt was the standout running back. It was him, and then it was like a tier down to like Corey Kiner, who I think is out in San Francisco as well right now. And Krosky Merritt was a stud. Nobody knew his name because he only played one game last year for Arizona after transferring from New Mexico. And I think this kid's really good, just really efficient. I don't think he's special, but I think he's really efficient, and he's a really good back that can be the best back on this team if they allow him to be.
So it sounds like you're describing Brian Robinson to me. I mean, it's just like, if he's not great, then I don't know that he, you know, outright takes Robinson, you know, his position. I mean, Robinson has been one of those guys who we didn't really love. We don't really love as a prospect, but when he gets on the field, he produces, you know. Yeah. When he gets in the game, he produces. And it's hard to kick against the pricks when, you know, when what's going on the field is what it is in Robinson's case. So, I mean, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt was one of the guys I was going to talk about, actually. You know, I definitely think he's a star of camp. But yeah, that backfield, it is a little bit convoluted. I don't know. So I might need to see a little more to make sweeping gestures like that.
Can I give you a first 3-year career comparison for Brian Robinson? Right, he's good. He does enough. He's fine. He's not special.
Ramondre Stevenson.
That's not terrible. But from a numbers perspective, I'm going to go here. Both of these guys have over 700, but under 800 yards rushing in each of the first three seasons. Each of these guys rushed for more than 10 touchdowns, but fewer than 15 touchdowns. Both of these guys had a season where they showed that they could catch the football, and they took a step forward in the third season catching the football on that roster. Gus Edwards had back-to-back-to-back 700-plus yard seasons, same as Brian Robinson these last 3 years. And both of them are kind of the definition of just like a big plodding between the tackles grinder. And now Gus Edwards obviously is, you know, he was on the Chargers last year for a minute and a half with J.K. Dobbins.
I guess the question then is, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt better than both of those guys? I mean, are they saying, you're saying he's a good player? I want to hear you say that he's great.
I think it's hard to call a guy that was a seventh round pick great. Like, we're in the right now, we're just trying to establish that there's potential.
Well, if he's not great, then it's hard for me to just say
Isaiah Pacheco wasn't great.
Brian Robinson on the field
wasn't great, right?
Huh?
I said Isaiah Pacheco wasn't great. Phillip Lindsay wasn't great. They just showed ability, which in turn gives us value.
Right, and Brian Robinson's already doing that. He's a known commodity.
Correct, but I think the idea would be that, especially for the next 3 years, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt's the only running back on this roster with more than just this year on his contract.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we're talking about this year, right? I mean, I like Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
What this is going to turn into is, more than anything, he's going to get himself into probably the top 280, 270, maybe 250 in the dynasty rankings. And by probably week six, he'll be in the garbage grab twice.
That's fair.
All right. Who you got next?
it's going to be Braylon Allen, our running back, who I think will see the field a considerable amount this season. He's shown to be powerful and explosive. He's shown to be capable of a 1B kind of situation for New York. I mean, or maybe 1A, and maybe Breece Hall is the 1B. I mean, we talked about the comparison of like Zeke Elliott to Tony Pollard, you know, in those Cowboys heydays. And if that is the case, then Allen is to Zeke as Breece is to Pollard. So that would make him a 1A. So I feel like either way, Allen is going to get considerable time on the field. I think he's going to be short yardage goal line back potential for the Jets. And I think maybe it's not a bad thing for Breece Hall. Maybe it's a good thing that Breece Hall doesn't have the onus of being that, you know, guy getting those tough yards for the Jets. He can, you know, pop open those big plays. Breece Hall doesn't need a ton of touches to make his nut on the field. Braylon Allen, he is going to, you know, he's going to accumulate touches and hopefully score enough touchdowns to keep him viable as an RB2 potentially.
Man, the clips of Braylon Allen have looked fantastic the last week and a half or so. He looks like he's a little bit leaner. I know we thought he was about 250 going into the combine a year ago, and he ended up weighing in 235 pounds. He looks like he's about that 230, a clean cut 229 right now. And, you know, Breece Hall, I think just the way Breece Hall is talking about the whole situation, he feels like he can feel the lion nibbling at his Achilles right now, not in injury form, but more of just like nipping at his ankles. More than anything, love Braylon Allen right now. My next guy will be Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is a guy that I did a short video on him for the channel, and I talked about Calvin Ridley and just like, it kind of goes with the Stephon Diggs video yesterday that went a little viral on the Roster Watch Twitter account. Is these guys that are maniacal route runners that have always been so smooth, even in their, you know, in their older age. Like you think of like a Thielen or a Larry Fitzgerald, these guys that were always great route runners that could create separation and just did everything to the nines, is something that Calvin Ridley and Stephon Diggs remind me of every day still, right? We saw Calvin Ridley this last week, especially against the Atlanta Falcons, his former team, dusting AJ Terrell, dusting cornerback after cornerback after cornerback, which is something we've seen the last 3 weeks in camp with Cam Ward, dating back to that scrimmage that they had in the stadium when he caught like a 70-yard touchdown across the field. Calvin Ridley looks great. Calvin Ridley's had 1,000-yard season for Jacksonville, 1,000-yard season for Tennessee, 1,000-yard season for Atlanta. I know he missed a season in there, but he's not your standard, you know, I don't even know what he is now, 29, 28-year-old. He's not standard that way. He came out of college at age 24. He missed that season because of the gambling stuff. Like, I think Calvin Ridley is still pseudo in his prime, and he's going to have the best quarterback he's had since he had Matt Ryan in Atlanta. And this is his offense. This is – there's no – you know, I'm not worried about Chim DK or any of these other guys coming in here and taking some alpha share of targets away from Calvin Ridley. I see another 140 coming down the pipeline, and his training camp has been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ridley. I mean, there's always good reason to like Ridley. It's just, will we get consistency out of it? I think maybe this is his best opportunity that he's had thus far.
He's right on that same conversation right now as far as ADP goes. He's right around the same area as George Pickens. I think I would generally, from a talent perspective, lean towards Pickens. I think from a target perspective, though, I would lean towards Calvin Ridley. I think it's a really close one, but those are the two guys mainly that I like getting in that area. Who's your next guy?
My next and last guy is, I wouldn't be a trash man if I didn't throw a little trash out there. I like Kate Stover,
ooh,
tight end of the Texans. I mean, with Brevin Jordan, his injury, he's gone. That's allowing for Stover to get the opportunity. He's getting better as a route runner. He's going to get more opportunity in this offense. I mean, the Texans have never really had a tight end of note do anything on a consistent basis there. I mean, Dalton Schultz, he's like a body in the waves. You see him 1 second and then you don't, and then you see him 1 second and then you don't, maybe. But I think Stover is probably the best chance at, you know, some tight end production there, consistent tight end production there for the Texans, on the with the best receiving core that, you know, the Texans have probably had in a while. The big question will be, will the offensive line protect CJ Stroud enough to get Stover off of the line, you know, to get him out in space? That's going to be the big question, but I do like Stover, you know, as a potential streaming option.
Well, I just wanted to see if there's a scrimmage going on today between the Panthers and the Texans, and I wanted to see if I could find any footage of Cade Stover, and I just saw a video of him planting 330-pound defensive tackle Derek Brown on the ground in a run-blocking situation, and that's been one of the reasons that they love Cade Stover in Houston. So I have heard a lot of positive stuff about Cade Stover through the fall and through the summer, actually, while listening to my favorite radio station, the Houston ESPN Radio, with John Granato and Lance Zierlein, that Alex likes to tease me about. But Cade Stover, I think it'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see. I mean, more than anything, we're not going to draft him right now because you just don't have to at the tight end position. But I think he'll be, like you said, a garbage grab guy. He'll be a guy like by week 3-4 potentially. It really depends on how the receiving core and the targets disperse in Houston. I know Christian Kirk's there and Jaden Higgins and Jalen Nolan and guys like this, but I'll be interested to see, outside of Nico Collins, how kind of everything unfolds and if there's a red zone role for Stover in the early portions of the year. And also with this offensive line being very mid, like Stover being nearest the line of scrimmage, it'll be interesting to see that utilization. My fourth guy is going to be in the similar boat, and this is going to be a pretty easy one because I love this guy coming out of college as well. He's a rookie, and he's picked up steam, I would say, over the last 10 days, and the report started to come out that he's beating Marquez Valdes-Scantling for the outside job in Seattle, which is not something I expected to hear. We all expected it to be Cooper Kupp, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Instead, it's Torrey Horton, the rookie out of Colorado State, who dealt with a knee injury a year ago, and his season was completely shortened after about week 3, and he came back, ran, I think it was 4.41, 4.40, somewhere around those lines in the combine this year, and became one of the biggest values in the draft at the wide receiver position for the Seattle Seahawks. He now looks like he's going to potentially be a starter on the outside for Seattle come week 1. Some reports have even said that there's potential that Marquez Valdes-Scantling could be a cut candidate because of the growth that Torrey Horton has had. So he's going to be our number 8 guy. And as far as the ultimate draft cheat sheet and where Torrey Horton is at, he's not really in the realm of being drafted yet. The ADP has climbed about 50 spots consensus over the course of the last month and a half, or month, I should say. But we're keeping an eye on Torrey Horton, and as soon as he becomes a guy that even, you know, I guess in 20-round drafts, yes, Torrey Horton's going to be there. But in the 16-round slim, normal drafts, you don't really have to draft Torrey Horton. It's more so going to be a guy that if the fantasy output is there week 1, week 2, week 3, again, we talk about the garbage grab that you can get on rosterwatch.com every week during the season, going to be a guy that probably pops up on there on a weekly basis. But those are our 8 guys: Travion Henderson, Christian McCaffrey, George Pickens, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, or Bill, Braylon Allen, Calvin Ridley, Cade Stover, and Torrey Horton. Trashman, do you have any honorable mentions or any last thoughts?
I guess last thoughts is you take it kind of all with a grain of salt, you know, and when the season starts, you know, things might get flipped on, turned on their heads. But these are guys that we like going into the NFL season. These are guys that we think you can, you know, take as sleepers. You can take in late rounds of drafts, or you can potentially get value on in drafts where they're being drafted right now. But things can change. So if things turn on their head, then you need to turn on your head. Then you need to shift. But I like these guys a lot so far.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.